We begin now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is a new section in the book of 1 Corinthians. In chapter 11, Paul talked about the Lord's Supper. And now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul introduces the subject of spiritual gifts. These were miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit in the first century. And Paul discusses these gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He tells us what these gifts were. He talks about the place of these gifts in the first century church. He tells us how long they lasted. And he tells us what they were to be used for in the worship services, especially of the Lord's church. So there are many great teachings that we're going to look at in these three chapters. And what we're going to do today is to get started in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 11, and then we're going to give a brief commentary on these verses and look at some other verses in the Bible that talk about how people in the first century received these spiritual gifts. Let's begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Paul said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Again, you see the word "now" here in this passage. So many times, as we've noticed in the book of 1 Corinthians, when you see the word "now," and especially the words "now concerning," Paul is making a transition. He's introducing a new topic, and the new topic here is spiritual gifts. The word "gifts" is in italics because the word for gifts is not technically in the original language, but it's obvious that he's talking about these gifts from what follows. He says in verse 2, "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led." Many of the members of the church at Corinth were Gentiles. There were some Jews that were converted in that city. We know that because of Acts 18. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 18 that, in fact, the chief ruler of the synagogue was converted. His name was Crispus. And in Acts 18 also, the Bible tells us that there were Jews and Greeks who were persuaded. But many of them were Gentiles. Many of these people did not have a Jewish background. And he tells us here that they had been carried away unto these dumb, that is, these mute idols, these idols who were unable to speak or talk or listen or do anything else, even as you were led. One of the things that you'll notice in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, but especially in books like Isaiah and Psalms, is that God oftentimes tells the people who were worshiping these idols and talks about these idols in such a way as to show how silly and ridiculous it was for anyone to worship an idol. He said they're made of wood or stone or metal. They don't have eyes to see. They don't have ears to hear. They don't have hands to help you. So why would you worship an idol? It's just foolish. And yet there were many of these people in first century times that, as he says, were led away with idol worship. Paul goes on to say in verse 3, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed." To speak by the Spirit of God simply meant that the Spirit of God was moving that person to speak. This could have been a prophet. This could have been a tongue speaker or some other blessed man, that is, a man who has been blessed with a spiritual gift, such as what he's going to describe in just a few verses. So he says that no one who is a prophet of God, no one who is truly a tongue speaker, is going to call Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, what he's saying here is that if it had not been for the Holy Spirit, and what the Holy Spirit did, no man would be able even to say that Jesus is the Lord, that he is the Christ. because the Holy Spirit is the one who conceived Jesus in the womb. The Holy Spirit is the one who proved him to be the Son of God by the miracles that he performed. The Holy Spirit is the one who raised Jesus from the dead. The Holy Spirit is the one who came upon the apostles and was also given to these other Christians who performed these miracles and proved that Jesus was the Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who is inspiring Paul and these other men to write these New Testament books. If it had not been for the work of the Holy Spirit, no man could even say that Jesus was the Lord. In that sense, because the Holy Spirit was the source of the proof and the information that men need to say that he is the Christ. Now, in verses 4 through 6, Paul notices that you have the same source of these spiritual or miraculous gifts, but there are different purposes served by them. Notice in verse 4 that Paul says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." Notice, first of all, that he talks about each one of the three in the Trinity here. In verse 4, he talks about the same Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. In verse 5, he talks about the same Lord. That's the Lord Jesus, God the Son. In verse 6, he talks about the same God, that is, God the Father. So we have God the Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. When he talks about these diversities of gifts and these differences of administrations and these diversities of operations, those are three different ways of saying the same basic thing. In verse 4, when he talks about diversities of gifts, he means that there are different spiritual gifts. And the word gift points out the fact that they were given to these people by God. And he's already reminded these people in this book that they would not even have these miraculous abilities if God had not given those gifts to these people. Again, these people had a problem with being prideful. They were puffed up, and some of them were puffed up because they had these miraculous abilities like speaking in tongues. And so God is trying to remind them why he gave them and where they received these miraculous gifts. So in verse 5, he says there are differences of administrations or ministries. There he's talking about the different ways in which these gifts were used to help people, to minister to people, to serve people, especially in the church, to edify the congregation. In verse 6, he says that there are diversities of operations. And the word operation points to the ability or the power that God gave in these gifts, again pointing to the source of these miraculous gifts. But his point here is that although there are different kinds of these abilities, there are different kinds of miraculous gifts, they come from the same place. They come from God Almighty through the Holy Spirit. And they're to be used for one purpose in general, and that is for the good of God's cause, for the spread of the gospel and the edification of the church. And so, in verse 7, Paul said, "But the manifestation of the Spirit," that is, the manifesting of the Holy Spirit, and especially the Holy Spirit's power through these miraculous gifts, is given to every man to profit withal, that is, to every one of these people who received these miraculous gifts. Because he's going to tell us in the last part of this chapter that not everybody received the same miraculous gift. Not everybody received the gift, for instance, of speaking in tongues or prophecy or any of these other gifts. But he's saying the ones that did receive these gifts were given these abilities to profit everybody else for the good of the congregation. So what were these miraculous gifts? What were the spiritual gifts that were given in the first century church? We have a list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. Here is your list of the miraculous gifts that were given in the first century to these Christians. Number one, in verse 8 he says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." Wisdom, as many people point out, is different from knowledge because it involves the practical judgment. It involves the ability, for instance, to look ahead, which is normally acquired through experience and meditation and reflection. But here, God gave this ability to these people directly and also in a miraculous way. They didn't have to experience life to gain this wisdom. It came to them immediately. The second gift is called the word of knowledge. In verse 8, he says, "To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." This is knowledge of the truth. It is knowledge of the gospel and knowledge of the New Testament. Now, there are two things about this that we need to remember. First of all, remember that as Paul is writing this book, the New Testament has not been written yet. Some books have been written, and Paul is in the process of writing this book, of course, as he writes to these Corinthian people, but there are other books that have not even been written yet, so the New Testament has not been completed. These Christians could not open up the Bible and read all of the New Testament like we can. So they didn't have all of the instructions and all the teachings written down like we have in the completed form that we call the New Testament. Well, that brings up a question. If these Christians did not have the completed New Testament, then what did they study from, or how were they taught? How did they teach the congregations? What did the preachers preach from? They didn't just preach from the Old Testament because the New Testament is different. The gospel is the fulfillment. That's where these miraculous gifts came in. These miraculous gifts, like the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge and these other gifts, enabled these men who had them to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ just as we have it in written form today. But they did it through a miraculous gift, and the word of knowledge was one such gift. The second thing that we need to remember about the word of knowledge is that Paul is going to talk about the word of knowledge again in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and he's going to talk there about the fact that that knowledge will vanish away. Not all knowledge, but this miraculous gift of knowledge. We'll get to that later in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Then he says in verse 9 that to another is given faith by the same Spirit. Now, saving faith is a choice. Before a man can become a Christian, he must choose to believe. He must hear the gospel because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. But this is somewhat different. This is an additional degree of or a higher level of faith. And it's a higher level or a unique kind of faith because it was given miraculously. It was given evidently, instantly, to these people. And when we look at these first three spiritual gifts, we're almost naturally curious about them. We'd like to know more regarding these three gifts. But the fact is, we know less about these three gifts than we do about these others that we're going to read about. But the one thing that we do know is that these are not natural gifts. These are not gifts that are attained through human effort. They are given directly by the Spirit of God in a miraculous way and to a miraculous degree. But they're all given in the first century church to edify the body of Christ, and we're going to look at the other spiritual gifts that he talks about in the next lesson.